Thank you. Good morning, West End. It's the Powell family. We're downtown at the Love Sign because we love West End Church. We are so excited to worship with you this morning. Merry Christmas from our family.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Come.
all have stories we tell about ourselves, stories that we look back on, things that happened that define us, that speak to who we are. Earlier this month on our Facebook page, we had a question about, you know, what are some of your favorite Christmas traditions? And that got me thinking about how much I love going to cut down a Christmas tree. Every year our family goes with the same family friends, and it's been happening since before I was born. In fact, this is something that we love so much that actually one year, even when we lived out in Iowa, we really wanted to still cut down that Christmas tree. And so we happened that it worked. We were in town the day that they were going to do that. So we strapped a Christmas tree to the roof of our car, and we drove all the way from West Michigan to Sioux Center, Iowa, with a Christmas tree on the roof. In fact, we actually got a speeding ticket in the mail from the city of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, from a traffic camera. And there was no denying that it was us, because there was the Christmas tree on the roof of our car. We look back on these stories. Some of them make us laugh. Some of them make us cry. Sometimes those stories challenge us and confront us with ways that we are or are not living into who we wish we could be or should be. I've heard stories. Some of you have grandparents or parents who served in World War II, or who were part of resistance movements in World War II. Some of you have told me stories about your family hiding those who were being sought after for the concentration camps. Those are stories that live into our family identities that begin to create a narrative about who we could be, who we should be. Stories have a way of doing that to us. And this morning, I want to look at a story that I just have to imagine when it comes to the life of Jesus and the sort of the growth and the adolescence of Jesus. There's so little that we know about what happens in Jesus' early life, but this has got to be one of those stories that would have been a remember when type of story in Jesus' household. This comes to us from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, and this is what it says there. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So this is right after the Magi have come to visit Jesus and his family, and they've gone back. And so this is a moment of height for Jesus' family, right? This has been this moment where they have been recognized by these foreign astrologers who have come to pay homage to Jesus. They brought gifts. This had to be one of those things that was just an amazing experience for them. But as soon as they go, Joseph has a dream. And it's a dream that he wakes up and he just knows that they need to go. They need to leave. And so as soon as he has this dream, he wakes up in the middle of the night. They get up, they go, they travel to Egypt, to a place where they are not from, a place where they travel as refugees seeking safe haven. And again, there's so many questions that this raises for me, right? Where did Jesus and his family stay? What did they do for food, for money, for lodging? How long were they there? Did Mary or Joseph speak Egyptian? How did they sort of get by in this completely foreign other place? So many questions that we just don't know the answer to. But this is where I find it really interesting to just imagine and wonder, what was it like for Jesus' family, and how did this become part of the story of Jesus' family? As they would look back, as Jesus would grow up, I have to imagine that they had these conversations of, remember when we went to Egypt? Remember when we went there? We don't know how long they were in Egypt, but it was part of the story of what made Jesus who he was. That when they needed a place to go, they fled for safety. And they went to Egypt. And Matthew links this to Hosea chapter 11. He says, "This fulfills what was said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.'" Now, what's interesting about Hosea chapter 11 is that Hosea chapter 11 isn't really foretelling anything, not in the sense of what we often think of as prophecy. No, Hosea chapter 11 is really about how much God loves his people. The whole chapter is just this, this beautiful chapter of God saying how much he wants to care for his people. The imagery is of a loving parent caring for, watching, and helping a beloved child. So for instance, Hosea chapter 11, verses 3 and 4 says this, "It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them." What a beautiful image of God, the parent just holding the hands of his child, walking with them, helping them take their steps, crouching down, getting right down on the child's level. Right, we've all seen this, right? You know, when an adult just crouches down to get on a child's level, it's because they want to communicate in a way that says, "I see you, you matter." And that's what Hosea 11 shows us, is that God is looking at his people in such a way as to say, "I want to show you just how much I love you." And Hosea chapter 11 is telling the story of God's extraordinary love for his people. Hosea chapter 11 is saying, this is who you have been, and this is who you are going to be, because it's who I am. Right? Out of Egypt, I brought you out of Egypt. Out of Egypt, I called my child. I helped you walk. I fed you. I crouched down and got on your level because I love you. Out of Egypt, I've called my son. In fact, this description as being the one who brings his people out of Egypt is one of the famous ways that God describes himself. At the beginning of the Ten Commandments, right? It's the way that God leads into the Ten Commandments. He says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." This is the story that God keeps saying, "Remember when I did this? Remember when I brought you out of Egypt? Remember when?" And in fact, I think we could actually go so far as to argue that the story of Exodus is one of the dominant, if not the dominant, story that guides most of the Old Testament. The narrative framework, the story that frames the entire identity of God's people. God says, "I brought you out of Egypt because I love you." And so in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, we have Matthew linking this story of Jesus and his family fleeing to Egypt for safety. And it's not really so much a hindsight with Jesus shaped hindsight looking back on foresight of something that was predicted, but it's really more hindsight looking back on hindsight. Because what Jesus does is Jesus is replaying the same story. God says, "This is who you are. This is who I am. You are my child. I brought you out of Egypt." And Jesus is saying the same thing. The story of Jesus' life, even as a baby, is demonstrating, putting into practice this same story. Jesus goes to Egypt because he brings us out of Egypt. And so I think it's important for us this morning, as we think about that story of Jesus going to Egypt, to ask ourselves, what is the story that Egypt tells? How is God bringing his people out of Egypt? How is Jesus going to Egypt to bring us out of Egypt? How is that retelling the story? You see, Egypt tells us a few different stories about who we are. Egypt tells us that our worth is in what we can accomplish. Remember that in Egypt, the people of Israel, they were enslaved. In Egypt, they had quotas of bricks to create and make. In Egypt, their worth is in what they could do, in their achievements and in their accomplishments. And the story of Egypt is still one that tempts us today to say that our worth is in what we can do. That my sense of identity comes from what I can accomplish. that I need to pick myself up by my bootstraps and I need to make my life, myself, better. The story of Egypt still tells us today that our worth is in the degrees that we get behind our name, how far we can make it up the corporate ladder, that who we are is in what we do and what we accomplish. Another story that Egypt tells is a way that Egypt frames our identity is that, remember, in Egypt they were enslaved, they served out of bondage, not out of love. You know, I think this is something that is a silent and insidious temptation in the church. Because it's so easy for us, despite the fact that we are embraced by the love and grace of Jesus Christ, it is so easy for us to do things because we feel we have to. We are so good at turning opportunity into obligation. Friends, the amazing story of God's grace is a freely given gift that we respond to out of gratitude. But the story of Egypt continues to hold sway in our lives. And so we beat ourselves up trying to run from one thing to the next to get done everything that we feel we need to do. We don't need to do it. We serve out of love, not out of bondage. The story of Egypt, the story that Egypt tells, was that we're trapped and that our current reality is all there is going to be. When Israel went to Pharaoh, and Moses goes before Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go," Pharaoh says no, over and over and over again. So this is how it's going to be. This is your reality. This is how it's going to stay. The story that Egypt tells is that we're stuck. That the ways that we are not yet who we know we can and should be is who we are always going to be. That the ways that we are not as patient as we wish we were is always going to be how we are. That the addiction that we're caught in will always hold sway over us. The story of Egypt tells us that we will always, always feel this way. The story of Egypt denies us hope. But friends, God is the one who brought his people out of Egypt. He says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Jesus goes to Egypt because he is the one who brings us out of Egypt. Those stories that Egypt tells, they have no sway anymore. Those are not the stories that define us. You, my friends, are not defined by what you accomplish and by what you earn. You are defined by the love of Jesus Christ, who looks at you and sees somebody who is enough as you are. Jesus went to Egypt to bring us out of Egypt. We get to serve. We get to love. We have the opportunity to put the love of Jesus Christ into action. We get the opportunity to be a part of what God is doing in this world to fix and restore everything. We get the opportunity to be the new creation that God is making us to be. We get the opportunity to be a part of working towards justice. We get the opportunity to be a part of setting others free. We get the opportunity to be a part of opening our arms wide to say, "Welcome to church. Welcome to the community of those who are part of the body of Christ, who are defined not by what we've done, but by what Jesus has done, who are defined not by what we have accomplished, but by the love that Jesus has for us." Jesus went to Egypt because he brings us out of Egypt. And so, friends, whatever it feels like, that's never going to change. However it feels like we are stuck, however it feels like there is no hope, friends, I promise you, our God is a God of resurrection. Our God is a God who brings us up out of Egypt. Our God is a God who sets us free. And so even if it feels like you have tried before and failed, the grace of Jesus is sufficient for you. Even if it feels like things are never going to change, friends, I promise you, our God is a God of hope and new life. Jesus went to Egypt to bring you out. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, help us see where Egypt is still in our lives and set us free. Bring us out wherever we are still trapped in the lie that it is about our accomplishments and achievements. Set us free. Where we are trapped in the lie that things will never change, remind us again of your hope. And where we are trapped in the lie that we have to do things, remind us that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Thank you. Thank you for going to Egypt. Thank you for bringing us out of Egypt. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, receive God's blessing. May God go before you to guide you. May God go beside you to befriend you, beneath you to support you, and behind you to protect you. Do not fear. God is with you, setting us free from Egypt in our lives today and always. Do not be afraid. Amen. Thanks for joining us. We will be right back again online next week.